The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, we are making our way through the Advent season. The first week we lit the candle of hope. And we talked about how Jesus is our hope. He brings hope in this hopeless world. And then last week we lit the candle of peace. And we talked about peace on earth. Where is there peace on earth? Well, peace on earth starts with each and every one of us, starts inside of our hearts. And our peace comes from God. And so today we lit the candle of joy. And we're going to talk about joy today. We need joy in our life, don't we? The Mayo Clinic came out recently with an article stating that one of the best cures for stress is simply laughter. We need to laugh at times. We need to laugh probably more often than we do. When was the last time that you just laughed from the bottom of your heart? You laughed so hard that you had to, it made you cry or made you pee a little. Martin Luther says this: "It is pleasing to God whenever you rejoice or laugh from the bottom of your heart." It's good to laugh. Today, we're going to laugh.
I got four kids, and I love them to death, but when Christmas rolls around, it's just it's a nightmare. Oh, it's around Christmas, it's a wine fest in my house. It's like, that's just my wife, you know, that's just. But Christmas is kind of bittersweet for me, because when I was a kid, my first time performing, I was 6 years old, and I was performing in our Christmas pageant at church, and I had one line. In one song, it was the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And I messed it up. I sang, a child, sleeping in the night, with a tail as big as a kite." That's not the way that song goes, ladies and gentlemen. People get mad when you sing about baby Jesus with a tail. But think about that song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" It's psycho. Who wrote that?
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
I think the shepherd boy's been in the field a little too long, don't you? Talking to the sheep. Really? Oh, we got to tell the mighty king. It's worse, they go to the mighty king.
A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
How about a blanket? How about some soup? Child shivered in the cold.
Throw some gold on him, he'll be fine. He's got pneumonia, but he's loaded. That kid is gonna be some.
Oh, man, I know this Christmas my daughter's going to want a puppy. Oh, I can't stand animals. I don't like animals. I just don't. If I was Noah, it'd just be me and you right here, right now. You wouldn't be reading about no ark. It'd be a pontoon boat and a couple of jet skis.
It's good to laugh. This made me laugh this week. Some church bulletin bloopers. Here's some of the real church bulletin bloopers that are out there. Next Friday, we will be serving hot gods for lunch. November 11th, an evening of bowling at Lincoln Country Club. So come to this evening of bowling. Oh man, what a difference one letter would make in that whole sentence. How about this one? Women's luncheon. Each member bring a sandwich. Polly Phillips will give the medication. It's like they knew ahead of time that the sandwiches are going to be bad. So we're going to just provide this right away. If you choose to heave during the postlude, please do so quietly. That's good, right? Good practice. If any of you choose to heave, please just do so quietly. Today we are singing the hymn, I Love Thee, My Ford. Maybe some of you are Chevy people and say, I'm not laughing at that one. Volunteers are needed to spit up food. This last one is one of my favorites. Maybe a church will do anything they can to bring people in. I don't know. Lent is that period for preparing for Holy Week and Easter. Oh, it's amazing how one letter can change everything. So this morning I encourage you to have fun. This morning we're going to talk about joy. So everyone, pick up your chin a little bit. Sit a little bit straighter in your chair. Shake out all the mopes that we might have. And let's just have fun this morning. We're going to have fun as we talk about joy. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, this is the same verse that we talked or read last week. We're going to read the same one this week. Luke chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8. I know I'm not as cool as Linus who read it to us last week, but that's okay. You'll deal with it. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So we see that there's these shepherds. Shepherds back then were kind of the outcasts. They were lonely. They were on the outskirts of town because they had to be in the fields. And when they were in the fields, they were pretty much by themselves all the time. It was them and it was their sheep. And that was their job, was taking care of their sheep. But a lot of people didn't really want to associate with those lonely shepherds. Well, some people thought they were a little weird. Some people thought that they smelled a little bit. And so the shepherds, they were lonely. They were by themselves. And so here we see that they are in their fields doing what they do best. And then it says in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You see, Jesus was just born. God was so excited, he wanted to tell someone. I know how that was, because several of our kids, it seemed like, were born in the middle of the night. And so right when our kid was born, we wanted to tell the world that they were here, or he or she was here. And we couldn't because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So we had to wait. But here, God, he couldn't help but be joyful for his son. God came to earth for us. He is here. And he had to tell somebody. So he went to the shepherds. And this is what they said. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So we see that when this angel came, they told him two different things. They said, shepherds, guess what? I have a baby that's going to bring good news. Jesus brings us good news. He is our good news. Sometimes it's hard to find good news in this world these days. Jesus is our good news. And it says he will bring you good news. Even the shepherds, even you and me, he is our good news. And then he also said, and it will cause great joy for just you? No, for all people. Jesus will cause great joy for you and me. For even the shepherds. Why? Because Jesus is our joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. He's here to bring us joy. Several years ago now, I was speaking at Durley Camp at a youth retreat. It was a whole week long retreat. And at the very end, one of the last nights, basically the schedule was we were going to have our evening session where I speak. And then, but really what a lot of people were looking forward to was their big game after this evening session. This was their game that everybody looked forward to all week. It was a game buffer. And so people loved to play this game. They loved to go around and try to hit people with these socks and all this stuff. Well, during this night, during the time of worship, the worship leader felt led to ask people to come forward to just to share a testimony of what God has been doing in this week. This time of testimony went on for a while. They even canceled that buffer game. It went on until about midnight that night. Even for like the counselors, they're like, what do we do? This is not on our schedule. And we're like, let's just see what God has. And so several people just came forward and the Spirit just moved in many different ways. There's one girl who came and shared her testimony. And she said, in the last 2 years, I have been severely depressed. She said, to a point, I have not laughed for 2 years. I probably even haven't even smiled. She said, it even got to a point where I probably cried so much that I can't even cry anymore. I feel like I have no emotions. And she said, but when I came to the altar today, I just started to weep before the Lord. And when I did it, she said, I felt God pick me up and hold me. And when that happened, I felt like he took my depression away. And she said, instantly, I just started to laugh. And I laughed and I laughed because I was in the presence of God. As I shared last week, this month is a hard month for many people. Maybe for some of you, this is a hard month for you. They say that December is the month of depression. Many people struggle during this month. Maybe you are struggling. But I believe in a God who, when we come near him, he can take our depression away. He can fill us with joy. He can help us to rejoice. He can turn our tears into laughter. Nehemiah 8, chapter 10, or chapter 8, verse 10 says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. His presence brings us joy and fills us with his strength. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. That's my prayer for each and every one of you, that your joy will be full today. And John chapter 17, verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. So let me ask you these questions. What things in life give you most joy? What things in your life give you most joy? How about this question? What are things in your life that steal your joy the most? That take it away? What is joy? Kay Warren, in her book Choose Joy, defines joy this way. Joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right. And the determined choice to praise God in all things. So for Kay, she's saying, my joy is in the fact that no matter what happens, no matter what is going on, I know that God is in control. I know that His way is better than ours. That brings me joy. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He's calling us to rejoice how often?
Always.
Not just once in a while. Rejoice in the Lord always. We need to rejoice at all times. We need to be joyful. It's interesting that Paul is writing this verse while being persecuted in jail. Rejoice in the Lord always, even through trials, even through hard times. Actually, this book in Philippians, they say, is the most joyful book in the Bible. In this small book that Paul refers to joy or rejoice 16 different times. And he wrote it in prison. While being chained up and persecuted. James actually says it really well in chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. That's hard, isn't it? We think about the trials that we face in our life, but here James is saying, but consider it pure joy. You see, in the midst of trials, we need to be joyful. Some people see our life as kind of hills and valleys. You have these hills, the high points of your life that give you most joy. And then you have these valleys, the low parts of your life, the despair, the sorrow, the trials. And our life, many people would say, is just a roller coaster, up and down, up and down. I kind of see joy and sorrow almost parallel, like a train track. A train track, you have two rails. And some people on one end of the rail, they might say, oh, this is my joy. I'm going to walk on this rail. This is my joy. But on this end, this is my sorrow. But we have a picture for you that there's something that gives us hope that when you look in the horizon and look out, to what the train tracks will give you, you see just like this that what happens when you look to the horizon, they all come together, don't they? Joy and sorrow can come together. That's what Paul is talking about. That's what James is talking about. In the midst of my sorrow, there is joy. You see, sometimes we struggle between the difference of happiness and joy. Happiness could be like a circumstance, something that happens that makes you happy. Almost like happiness is kind of like a rising bubble. It's delightful, but it's fleeting. Where joy is a being. Joy is like oxygen. It's always present. There are times in my life where I've sensed that through the trials, through the hard times, and I am sad and I'm struggling, but yet I have joy. It's all together. Joy in the midst of trial. Joy in the midst of suffering. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with some trials in your life or with suffering. And I pray that you will find the joy that God can bring. That no matter what you are going through, just knowing that God is there and God is faithful helps bring us joy. So are you a joyful person? What would people say when they look at you or if they know you? Would they think you're a joyful person? Do you laugh enough? Do you rejoice always? Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves to be like the kids, don't we? And stop taking things so personal and so literal sometimes and just shake it out. And let's just enjoy life. Here are some things that can steal your joy. The first thing that can steal your joy is sin. Sin can steal your joy. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 9 says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness." Basically saying, you have loved the good and hated the bad. "Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." You see, when we sin, that it kind of creates this barrier between us and God. And if God is our joy, it's hard to find that joy in the midst of this sin in our life. Luckily, we have a God that forgives us, that we can come to with our sin, and he can destroy that barrier because he died for it. Another thing that can steal your joy is complaining. Are you one of these people that complains a lot? We talked about this last month, the damage that a complaining heart can do. You see, when you complain all the time, it can steal your joy. Also, if you complain all the time, it could possibly steal the other people's joys around you. Another thing that can steal your joy is trying to find approval in other people. Approval seeking. You see, it's so refreshing when you only have to worry about the approval of one, and that's in God. Because it is impossible to please everyone, and we have so many people that always try to please everybody else, and so it's just steals your joy. It takes it away. But we're here to seek the approval of God. Trying to make him smile. Another thing that can steal your joy is negative thoughts or talk about yourself. When you look in the mirror, what do you see? Many people see the lies that Satan is telling them to see. that you're not good enough, of all the blemishes that you might have. But I pray that you will see the truth that God has given you, that you are a child of Him, that you were made perfectly in His image, that He loves you deeply. When we start talking or thinking negative about ourselves, it can take away our joy. We need to start looking at who we really are through the eyes of Jesus. Another thing that can steal away your joy is living in the past. Maybe you have something, a situation that happened in your past that haunts you, that you just can't get past. Maybe you just need to find healing over that. But you are living in that past because you are living on that circumstance of something bad that happened to you now. Maybe it's reverse. Maybe you're living in the past because of something great that happened to you a long time ago. And all you do is live right now thinking, oh, I wish I was back then. And it can steal away your joy. A verse that I say all the time. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You see, we need to be present with this day. And we need to rejoice in this day that God has given us. And the last thing that could possibly steal your joy is the lack of prayer. You see, when we pray, it draws us into His presence. And it helps us to have joy. So here's just a couple of things that's important for us to know about joy. First thing, that joy is God's will for your life. Joy is God's will for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is His will for you to have joy. It is His will for you to rejoice in all circumstances. Another thing that you should know about joy is that God created us to be joyful. He didn't create you to be a complainer. He didn't create you to mope and to be down on yourself. He created you to rejoice and to be joyful. So we need to rejoice and praise Him for who He is. Louis Suetus writes this: you and I were created for joy. And if we miss it, we miss the reason for our existence. Moreover, the reason Jesus Christ lived and died on earth was to restore us to the joy we have lost. His Spirit comes to us with the power to believe that joy is our birthright because the Lord has made this day for us. That's who we are. We are created to have joy. And the last thing you should know about joy is a choice. So what do you choose today? Do you choose joy? About a year ago, someone encouraged me with this line to laugh over spilled milk. And he went through this example. I believe it was like he was looking at our own house of what happened. And he said, an example of you're sitting around a breakfast table and a child accidentally spills a glass of milk. And then you get angry or you get frustrated. And at the end, how long will it take to really clean up the glass of milk? A minute. Maybe two. Is that worth it? But we need to remember to laugh over choose milk. We need to choose joy in that circumstance. Because we know that we were created to be joyful. My friend Adam Davidson, who's a pastor in Michigan, he kind of created this little jingle for himself to help him remember to choose joy. Every time he faced this dilemma, he came up with this jingle. Choose joy. You laugh, but you know you want to do it. Are you ready? Here we go. Ready? Choose joy. So you're facing that spilled milk. What should we do? We should choose joy. You're sitting in traffic and you're frustrated that you're not getting to the place where you want to get to. What should we do? Choose joy. Maybe you're going home today and you're turning on the television to watch your favorite team play and they're not doing very well. What should you do? Choose joy. Maybe you go to your workplace and you have all of this stuff to do, or maybe everybody else is complaining to you, but what do you choose to do? Choose joy. We need to choose joy today. We need to choose joy in the things in our life. And sometimes we just need to dance, don't we? Sometimes we just need to laugh and dance. Psalm 30 verse 11 says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Psalm 149 verse 3, let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him. And 2 Samuel 6:14, and David was dancing before the Lord with all of his might. David was choosing joy. He was choosing joy to dance with all of his might. And so, one thing, as I said, that I've noticed is it seems like the kids do this so well. I encourage you maybe to go to a group of kids and say, hey, why don't I take you out for ice cream? What do you think you're going to get? You're going to get joy. They're going to probably dance around. Sometimes if you would say it to us adults, you might get, well, what kind of flavor? Do you know how many laps I need to run to get that off? And sometimes we just need to choose joy and have fun. And laugh. And I love it in our house. It seems like whenever we have balloons in our house, it just automatically creates joy for the kids. They just go around and hitting them up in the air and having fun and dancing around. So I feel like we should choose joy this morning. So I have all the kids. They are ready right now to open up these doors, and they have a bunch of balloons. And we have a song that we're going to play. So I encourage you, get on your feet. Let's have some fun. Let's have joy. Let's be happy.